For Parshas Acharemos, we have six Divrei Torah. Acharemos is primarily focused on the Avod and the Beis HaMikdash done on Yom Kippur, and it starts out with something somewhat related. It says, Acharemos Shnei Bnei Aaron, after the death of the children of Aaron. So Nadav and Avihu passed away. There are various explanations what the punishment was, what the Avera was that they did, and why they were punished. Either way, the Medrash says as follows, an interesting comment by the Medrash that we're going to have to explain. It says as follows, Kevon Sheshama Iyov Misa Shnei Bnei Aaron Amar Af Lezos Yecharad Libi. Iyov, who the famous Sefer in Tanakh, Iyov is written about, Iyov makes a comment. He said, when he heard about the death of Nadav and Avihu, the two children of Aaron, this makes me nervous. And the question is, what is making Iyov nervous? What is this Medrash talking about? So we need a little bit background on Iyov. So Chazal tell us that Iyov was actually an advisor to Paro. When Paro was making the decision, he was consulting with his various advisors, and he made the decision to throw the Jewish baby boys into the Yaor, into the river. And Iyov was one of his advisors at the time. He didn't advise to do that, but also he did not advise to not do it. When he heard that that decision was made from Paro, he was passive. He did not actively try to intervene and dissuade Paro from enacting and fulfilling that decision to drown the Jewish baby boys. So Iyov was there. He was there, he was an advisor, he wasn't actively advising, but he passively agreed because he didn't stick up for the Jewish baby boy. So here we have it. Let's fast forward a little bit. We're in the Midbar now, and Iyov hears about the death of Nadav and Avihu. And what happened with Nadav and Avihu? What was going on between the two? So there was a conversation between Nadav and Avihu. Chazal tell us that Moshe and Aaron were walking along, and in back of them were Nadav and Avihu, the great sons of Aaron, and in back of them were Klal Yisrael. And Nadav turns to Avihu, and he says, Emasa yamusu shnei zekenim alalu. When are those two elderly men? Talking about his father and his uncle, talking about Moshe and Aaron. When are they going to pass away so the two of us can take over and become the leaders of the generation? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, obviously hearing this, says, we're going to see who's going to bury whom. In other words, that you will not outlive the elderly men you are talking about. And what's interesting here, based on this, is it was Nadav that told Avihu, when are we going to be the leaders? And Avihu just listened in. He didn't respond, yeah, I agree with you. And the Nachal Kedumim tells us we learn an important message from this, that if you hear something evil, if you hear something wrong, and you don't speak up, you don't rebuke, you're just simply passive and do nothing, you should be punished for it. And accordingly, based on this background, we can now understand when Iyov heard what had happened to Nadav and Avihu. Nadav had told Avihu, when are they going to pass away? Avihu did nothing. What does he say? This makes me nervous, because I learned from this that even if you're not actively advising, even if you're not actively involved in the conversation, but you heard something negative, you heard some evil, and you didn't stick up, and you didn't say otherwise, you are going to be punished for it. And he knew right then that he's got it coming to him as well, that he was there when Paro made the decision, the Gzeira, on the baby boys, and he did not stick up for them. He saw, just like Avihu was punished, even though he was passive, but he wasn't active. He didn't stick up for what was right. He heard wrong and did nothing. So too, Iyov now understood that he too would be punished for being passive when Paro made the decision to throw the Jewish baby boys into the river. We are now moving on to the second Dvar Torah. We're in Perek Tetzayin, Pasuk Yud Zayin. We're talking about the Avoda of Yom Kippur. And the Pasuk says as follows, V'lakach et shnei ha-si'irim ve'hemid osam livnei Hashem, that the Kohen Gadol, he took two goats and he put them in front of Hashem. And it's known, and the Psukim talk about it, and we read this on the in Musaf of Yom Kippur, that they had to be matching and they had to look alike and they were purchased at the same time, similar features, same cost to these two. And there was the lottery process that one eventually would be designated as a korban laHashem and would be slaughtered in the Beis HaMikdash. And the second one was sent out to Azazel. It was a long walk going through the desert, and it would eventually be thrown over a cliff, and that would act as a kapara for many of the sins of Klal Yisrael. So the Medrash tells us as follows, talking about something else in Tanakh, talking about when Eliyahu Hanavi was competing with the Nevi'ei Abaal, who would be answered? Would HaKadosh Baruch Hu or the Baal? Would HaKadosh Baruch Hu answer Eliyahu, or would the Baal, the Avodah Zarah, answer those prophets to the Baal? So they had a competition. They were going to bring Korbanos. Eliyahu was going to bring his Korban, his par, his ox, and they would bring their ox. And the Chazal, the Medrash, tells us that the ox that was designated to be brought by the Nevi'ei Abaal, the false prophets, it was going to be brought for Avodah Zarah. So that animal refused. I'm not going to play ball. I'm out of here. And it didn't want to be brought for Avodah Zarah. So Eliyahu actually had to convince it. He had to speak to the animal and say, don't worry. Just like my car that will go up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will accept it. It's going to obviously be burnt up. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to answer me, not them. So to you, when they try to bring you as a korban and the ash, the fire, doesn't count down from heaven, you too are making a tremendous Kiddush Hashem, obviously in very different ways. One, the par of Eliyahu is being answered and brought up as a real korban, and you won't be. You'll be shechted, but you're not going to be brought up in the ash. But you two are involved in this tremendous Kiddush Hashem, even though in a different way. And so too here, we have these two Seirim on Yom Kippur, and the Baal Shevet Musar tells us that indeed Aaron had to convince the second one. We have one that's the Seir LaHashem. And the other one is the Seir LaAzazel going out and being thrown over a cliff, and to all the Chataim acting as a kapara for all the sins of Klal Yisrael, that Aaron indeed had to convince that Seir as well. I know you're going out to Azazel and it doesn't look as attractive, but nonetheless, just like the Seir LaHashem is making a tremendous Kiddush Hashem and is involved in this, in the mitzvah, you too are involved in a tremendous Kiddush Hashem. And that's what the Pasuk tells us here. V'lakach et shnei ha-se'irim. Sometimes the v'lakach you take doesn't mean physically, but it means with words. You convince, you have to speak to them. Aaron, speak to that se'ir la'azalzel. Then meet osam livnei Hashem, and you have to put them both in front of Hashem. In other words, convince that se'ir la'azalzel, he's also in front of Hashem. He's also making a Kiddush Hashem. He's also being marbe kvod shamayim. He's also during the Rotzon HaBorei, and that's indeed something that all of us have to remember. Some people make this Kiddush Hashem in a very outward way, in a glorious way, in a dignified way. In other words, other people don't do it in the same way, but we all have to know we're on the same team, and whether it's like the Nevi'ei Abaal, the ox of the Nevi'ei Abaal making the Kiddush Hashem, the Seir LaAzazel, whatever way it is, the Ikkar is to make a Kiddush Hashem and to be Marbe Kvod Shamayim. We are now moving on to number 3. We're in Perek Tetzayin, Pasuk Yud Gimel. The Pasuk tells us when it comes to bringing the incense was brought inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim. The Kohen Gadol himself went into the Kodesh HaKadoshim on Yom Kippur, and he brought burning coals and the incense, the raw incense, and he combined them in Asana Saktoras ala Esh Livnei Hashem, that he poured the incense onto the Esh, literally the fire in front of Hashem. He poured it onto the burning coals. There's a Gemara in Yuma that says that you have to be sure not to do the combination of the incense and the burning coals outside of the Kodesh Kadoshim, but rather only inside the Kodesh Kadoshim. And you have to be very careful about this because the Tzedukim, those are the people that didn't hold by Torah Sheba'al Peh, only Torah Shebichsav, the Tzedukim, the Apikorsim. They had their own way about it, and they said you have to make this combination outside the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And the Drash Vayiyun says very fascinating and important concept here, that there are those in every generation who are like the Tzedukim. They are way too elastic with the halacha. They push the limits way too hard. And what they do is they try to take things from outside the Torah and push it in. And they try to take things that are inappropriate and wrong and aren't based on Torah, but they try to adapt the Torah and our hashkafas and views and practices based on what they find in the street. And that indeed is what's represented here in this Gemara, that the Tzedukim say, combine it outside of the Kodesh Kodashim. Let's do it outside, representing the street, representing foreign practices and foreign beliefs, and let's bring it into the Kodesh Kodashim. And that's what they try to do in each and every generation. As they claim, we need to change things in Torah. We need to make innovations, and they bring it from outside. And chas v'shalom, that should be what is done, says the Drash v'Ayun. Anything that we need to do, anything we need to fix in society, in our society, has to be based on Torah, has to have a basis in Torah, a source in Torah, a source in Kedusha, and chas v'shalom, that we should force innovations from the outside, from the schmutz of the street that is so rampant in society nowadays. We are now moving on to number four, Dvar Torah number four. We are in Perek Tetzayin, Pasuk Yud Zayin, and it says as follows in talking about the Ketores, the incense offering, and the Kodesh Kodoshim, V'chiper Ba'ado, Uva'ad Beso, Uva'ad Kol Kal Yisrael. This is acts as a karpora, it's acts as repentance, and it lists out three things here. Number one, for himself, the Kohen Gadol. This is a kapara for the Kohen Gadol, for the sins of the Kohen Gadol, and not only him, number two, also for his house, his household, his family. And number three, and thereafter, also for the entire Kahal Yisrael, for all of Klal Yisrael. And there was one of the Bali Amusar who made a comment based on this, that there are certain Askanim, people who are involved in the needs of the Tzibur, but they're missing the boat. He even called them Tifshim, fools. Because all they do is they focus on the needs of the community, but they ignore their own religious needs and that of their family. And they just focus solely on the tzibur, but this is the type of askanus, the type of involvement in public need, societal need, communal need, that will not be successful. Because we see here from the pasuk that there is a trajectory and there are priorities. And it says, first you have to worry about your own religious self, your spirituality, to be a healthy person. And thereafter, ba'ad beso, and you have to worry about the family also. You, your family, that's the priority. And only thereafter, when that's been taken care of, you have to worry about kol kahal yisro. That's when you can get involved in askanus outside the home. But first you have to make the home sure that the home is settled and stable. Very similar to when somebody is going on a flight and they tell you if anything happens with the oxygen level, be sure to put on your oxygen first. Because if you worry about your health and oxygen, then you can help the person next to you, a family member, and thereafterward you can help others. But if you don't worry about your oxygen level, if you're not worried about your ruchnius first, how are you going to be able to help others? In fact, the problem gets confounded when somebody doesn't worry about himself and the family. The family becomes a public problem because they're not taken care of, and they confound the problems in society. So first take care of the house. And then outside, I was once speaking with a wonderful Rav, who's a very popular speaker, a very inspiring individual, and he speaks all over the place. And he was telling me that when his children were younger and in the home, he used to never go out. He was there every night. He was there doing homework with them. He didn't used to go around and give shiurim because he said, I had to focus at that time on the home. And only when they grew up, that is when he started going out of the home in all hours of the day and night. He was giving shirim during the day then. He was a Rebbe in yeshiva, but not more than that. He says, I restricted it because my focus was on the family. And only thereafter, when they grow up, did I go to Kol Kahal Yisrael. We are moving forward to Vort number 5, to our Torah number 5. We are in Perek Yud Zayin and Psukim Zayin Ches Tes. So there's a discussion here of Shchutei Chutz. Shchutei Chutz is when somebody brings what should be a korban that's brought inside the Mishkan or the Beis HaMikdash, but they bring it outside. There's a halacha, and it's not a, there are exceptions to the rule, but the rule would be as follows, that korbanos, when you bring a korban to Hashem, it has to be in the Mishkan. or when we didn't have a Mishkan, we had the Beis HaMikdash, it has to be brought in the Beis HaMikdash. You can't bring it outside the Mishkan or outside the Beis HaMikdash. If you want your personal meat, you want to have a barbecue, shechtet, that's not a korban. That's chulin. That's all your own meat. That's your own animal. But if you want to bring an offering to Kadosh Baruch Hu, there's the place to bring it, the Mishkan or the Beis HaMikdash. Again, there's certain exceptions at certain times in history, but we will not get into that. So the Pasuk says as follows, in Pasuk Zayin, it's interesting that Kadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe the reason for this, that bring the korbanos inside, in the proper places, because I don't want you bringing it outside and following the ways of Avodah Zorah. If people may have the propensity to bring it outside, bring it inside, so it's Kadosh. So, Ve'aleim Tomar, this is now Pasuk Ches, when it comes to saying Klal Yisrael, you should tell Klal Yisrael, just tell them the law. When you want to bring a korban, don't bring it out of the Mishkan. When you want to bring a korban, don't bring it out of the Beis HaMikdash. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't say to Moshe, tell them the reason for it. Which is fascinating. Moshe Rabbeinu was told the reason, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't tell Moshe Rabbeinu to tell Klal Yisrael. Don't tell Klal Yisrael for the reason. And what's the reason for that? Why not inform Klal Yisrael the reason? The reason is because we want to avoid people going off and bringing korbanos to their avodah zarahs. So the reason is as follows, says the Bechori Aviv. He says that if you start telling people certain things, certain reasons for things, they start explaining the reason doesn't apply to me. And you give reasons, explanations for things. This is the reason for something. Ah, it's not going to apply to me. I'm going to be able to bring a korban to Kadosh Baruch Hu wherever because I'm mechav in the Shem Shemayim. I don't have problems. It's not going to get me off the derech. I'm not going to bring it for a vodas. I would never do such a thing. Kadosh Baruch Hu says we don't want people to start saying this doesn't apply to me because of the reason for the mitzvah. It applies. It applies only bringing it to the proper place, not outside the proper place, and we don't want people opting out because they think the reason doesn't apply. Because in fact, many times, if not all times, we have mitzvahs, we have isurim, that there are many reasons, and many unknown reasons, and many Kabbalistic reasons, in addition to the stated reason. And we have to know that even if a stated reason we think it doesn't apply, you have to do the mitzvah. You can't do the isur. You have to adhere to what the Torah tells us to do. In fact, there's a Mishnah in Shabbos, it's on Daf Yud Aleph, that says that when it comes to Shabbos, we have a candle that's lit. It says, the Mishnah says, Lo Yikra L'Or HaNer. Don't read by a candle. It doesn't say why. It doesn't say why in the Mishnah. And the Braisa, it explains the reason, and the Gemara brings a Braisa, and it says, Shemayata, the concern here at the time, they didn't have our lights. If you have a, because they used to light with oil, the concern is that it's not going to flicker well and you're going to adjust it and you want to change the oil because it's not going for you. Shemayata, you may move it towards yourself and it's going to kinder the fire more fully. So it brings the reason not in the Mishnah, but it does in the Gemara. So the Gemara continues and says, Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha says, I see that the reason is because people aren't going to be careful and they're going to be adjusting it and they're going to be over mavir, they're going to be kindling a flame on Shabbos. It doesn't apply to me. I'm strict. I'm not going to make that mistake. I'm going to be able to read with my candle at night and I'm not going to adjust it. And it happened one time that he started going, this candle's not working for me, and he wanted to adjust it. And he says, stopped himself, but he says, Kame gedolim divrei chachamim, the greatness of Chazal, that they told us, lo yikre l'or haner. They told us, don't read next to the ner. Don't do it. Don't do it. But they didn't say the reason, right? So the question is, why was he so shocked right now, the greatness of Chazal, that he didn't realize it before? And the Vilna Gaon says as follows, because he realized now that when it came to the Mishnah, Chazal didn't state the reason. Chazal simply said, lo yikra lo aran. Don't do it. Don't read next to the candle. But they didn't say why. Shemayata, because you may come to make a mistake. Chazal knew that if we tell, in the Mishnah, the Chachamim in the Mishnah knew that if we tell people the reason why, they're going to make the mistake of Rabbi Yishmael ben Elisha, and they're going to say, this doesn't apply to me. And now Rabbi Yishmael ben Elisha is saying, I see the greatness of Chazal. And in the Mishnah, they specifically omitted the reason. They didn't tell us the reason because they knew, like me, people would make the mistake and say this rationale doesn't apply to them. And indeed, he saw that it did apply to him. We are now moving forward to our last Torah, number 6. The Pasuk says as follows, Ushmartem es chukosai. This is a Perek Yud Ches Pasuk Hey Ushmartem Es Chukosai Vitz Mishpatai Asher Yaseh Osam. You have to be Shomer. You have to stick, protect the Chukim, the Mishpatim, those mitzvahs we don't understand, those we do understand. Asher Yaseh Osam Adam, and that those that you do, you have to do the mitzvahs. Mechai Bahem Mani Hashem. You should have to live by them. There are various drushas in Chazal, the drusha, the famous drusha that we are here to live by the mitzvahs, not die by the mitzvahs. So if we're going to be able to save a life, we can be Mechal Shabbos, etc. Just another direction of this. V'chai b'hem. There are those that explain chai is archius, our life, chayim, that when we do a mitzvah, we have to put everything into it. We have to put all of our effort into it. It's not that when we do a mitzvah, we should just be yotze. I just want to be yotze and I just want to do the mitzvah. I have to get through it. I have to go through the actions. That's not the case. When we daven, when we do lulav and esrog, when we put on tefillin, it shouldn't be, okay, I'm just going through the motions like a robot, but rather we, v'chai b'hem dictates, put your life into it, put your effort, put your mind into it. In fact, the Chidush HaRimi says that you have to put your hochayim into the mitzvah. Give it your best, give it all you got, and he explains based on that the concept of a ha'osek b'mitzvah, potter mina mitzvah, that if somebody is involved in one mitzvah, mitzvah A, and mitzvah B comes along, he's potter from mitzvah B. In fact, it's a machlokis. Does that mean he doesn't have to do mitzvah B, or he's also to do mitzvah B because he's involved in mitzvah A? But either way, the Chidush Arim explains, what's this concept of chai b'hem? I'm putting my entire life into mitzvah A. I've given it all I've got. Accordingly, now we understand why you're potter from mitzvah B, because I've got nothing left. If I'm doing mitzvah A right and giving it all my effort and all my life, all my inspiration, that's all I've got. Accordingly, you're potter from the second mitzvah because you've got nothing left. Thank you so much for listening.